Welcome to The Good Goddess Show, a weekly podcast for women who are fed up, are feeling bloated and tired. I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic nutritionist and all-around health geek. Let's dive in to the show. Welcome to episode 87 of The Good Goddess Show, and today I'm sharing with you my 1 year postpartum update. So I'm talking about the highs, the lows, the things that have been easy, the things that have been hard, and all the other juicy details of this past year of recovering from making a tiny human. But before we dive into that, a couple of important things. Number one, I would love it if you left me a review. So if you haven't done that already, you can head over to the iTunes store, click on the podcast option, search for The Gut Goddess Show, click on that, you'll see ratings and reviews, click there and you'll see a button that says write a review. That is the easiest way of doing it. So I'd love it if you'd leave me a review on there. And the next thing is, if you are listening to this podcast, or maybe you listened to my previous podcast about constipation and your bowels, or maybe that you have energy issues, hormonal issues, I am currently got spaces for one, maybe two, and new clients for my 4 month program for the end of the year. So if you're interested, head over to keziahall.com or supernaturallyhealthy.org. Both roads lead to the same place, and click the work with me page and you can find out more options there. And I'll also put a link in the show notes to just what that looks like. It's over 4 months. We work together to help you to beat the bloat, get your energy back so that you can feel good in your clothes and just get on with living the life you want to live. So I would love to help you. We can chat on the phone, have a wee conversation, see what's going to be helpful for you and see if it's a good fit. Otherwise, let's get on with the show. So in this week's episode, I am going to do an update, and probably one of the final updates following my kind of postpartum, post-baby journey. So this is my year kind of postpartum update, what recovery has been like, what I focused on, what's been good, what's been terrible, all the kind of stuff, all the highlights that I can think of from the past year. For those of you that are just curious, this should hopefully be interesting in terms of what I've really focused on in terms of healing. So even if you're not going to have a postpartum period anytime soon, the things I talk about today will also really apply to just recovery. Whether you're recovering from burnout, from chronic fatigue, whether you're recovering from caring for elderly parents and that really stressful time, or caring for somebody else, whether you're recovering from a breakdown, whether you're recovering from a loss, from a chronic disease, from treatment, the topic is recovery. So we're all going to be covered on here. And for those of you that maybe are experiencing postpartum, hopefully you'll glean some tips from this, or maybe hoping to in future, this could maybe help you, because I will share my experience. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, which I'm excited about. I'm a big fan of talking about this topic. A couple of things. If you are thinking about getting pregnant and you haven't listened to my preconception podcast, The Pillars of Preconception, then I really recommend you go and do that. There's links to that will be in the show notes. And if you want to know some of my other updates of pregnancy, you know, I think I did like a 3 or 4 month update and then maybe a 6 month update. Then again, the notes for those are in the show notes. You can find those by just going to keziahall.com and just clicking on blog, and all the show notes of today's episode will be on there. Okay, so let's dive in. It's been a year, and actually, truthfully speaking, I'm recording this in November, so it's actually been like 14 months. Just putting it out there, I wanted to be organized, but to be fair, I only had the idea of recording a year update like 2 weeks ago. I didn't have it in September, which is when he was born. So last September 2018, my son was born, Merlin Alexander Merrick Hall. Merlin like the wizard, or if you're in Scotland, Merlin, which is why when I tell Scottish people, they're like, what's his name? I'm like, Merlin, because I'm English accent, Merlin. Well, in the Scottish accent, it's Merlin, like the wizard, basically. So he was born in September, and it's been a whole year, which has been a crazy ride. So I'm going to share with you a couple of just specific practical things in terms of recovery and some of the things that I have found easy and some of the things that I have found hard. So I'm going to start with that. In terms of, let's start with some of the things that have been easy first, and better than I expected. Well, the first thing is just how much I love this little human. That was, I mean, it shouldn't have been a surprise, but it totally was. And that I would do anything for them. I love them so much, like my bones hurt. You know, I don't even think words adequately describe it, do they? And so that has been surprising. And to be honest, I wasn't, I didn't expect that as a given, just because I know that's not actually everyone's experience when they give birth. So for some women, it can take a while to feel that connection. So I had prepared myself that that might be me and that that would be okay. So that was actually much easier. That connecting with my son was much easier than I expected, which is a real gift that I didn't have to kind of fight through that upon first holding him in, because my his birth involved being in theatre. So I was in theatre when he was done. He was born by forceps, emergency forceps. And just holding him in that theatre, oh, honestly, I was just like, quite a moment to be had, which is so weird, because you're lying on this theatre table, like, probably bleeding everywhere, because I lost loads of blood. I had lots of drugs by this point, praise the freaking Lord, that I didn't notice. You know, there was millions of people in the room, I could have just been there naked, like, you know, you're just not remotely bothered. I was just holding this little black-haired bundle, and that has been an absolute gift, I have to say. So that's been much easier than I thought. Another thing that's been much easier than I thought, which I know is going to make some of you really hate me, and I really apologize for this, but it is my experience and my truth, and it's sleep. He, you know, for the first couple of weeks, was up every 3 hours, every 2 hours, usual newborn behavior. But probably by 12 weeks, he was sleeping through the night. And some of that, I think, is just like the gods above just showed us kindness, because I honestly think some of it is luck. And some of that is we did sleep training from about 8 weeks on. And sleep training, I don't really like the phrase sleep training because it sounds really harsh. But Merlin himself, by about 7 or 8 weeks, was already in a little routine. He was going to bed at 9 o'clock, waking up at 9 o'clock. He was, you know, waking up at maybe 6 and 12. He was already in a bit of a routine. So I just wanted to, change the routine slightly to suit me better. So we shifted it to like go to bed at 8 o'clock. He gets up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he was, and occasionally, probably a couple of times a week, he'd wake up in the night, but there was a good chunk of time in the week when he'd sleep through. And then probably by 4 months, he was sleeping through the night. That was the normal. And that has honestly, I think, made a lot of my recovery completely different. If I was coming to you now saying he still doesn't sleep through the night, I've not had a proper night's sleep for a year, I think my recovery story would be really different. Sleep is so integral. That's why sleep deprivation is a form of torture. It's so if you are in a recovery time, whether it's baby, whether it's anything else, and you're struggling to sleep, do give yourself a break. It's really, really hard when you are consistently sleep deprived. It really is. So much important stuff happens when we sleep. If you haven't had proper sleep for a long time, please be kind to yourself, and please take action to do whatever you can do to prioritize your sleep. And I do see this with parents a lot of the time, is that there's just not enough of a priority of their sleep. It's almost like all the fixation and energy is on the baby and making sure they're all right. But actually, your sleep is just as important. If that means getting overnight nurses and paying out, my sister knew someone who actually just used a credit card to get a night nurse just so that she could get a decent night's sleep once a week, whether it's paying for a babysitter so you can sleep in the day, whatever it is, whether trying sleep training. And I know every baby is different. I really don't think sleep training is the answer for everyone. I think a lot of Merlin was, he was just a very contented baby. We also did a bit of cranial osteopathy with him to make sure that everything was aligned. We made sure I did elimination diets, all of that kind of thing, to make sure that he wasn't actually struggling or in pain without us knowing. So he was quite a contented little boy. So sorry if that has not been your postpartum experience. I know so many people that still struggle with sleep, and it's a total mystery. So don't beat yourself up. It's not because you're doing something wrong. Every baby is different. And honestly, I just think it's the grace of the gods above that has allowed us to have a baby that sleeps. And that has played a huge role in my recovery. I would be a different person if I had not slept for the last year. But thankfully, I consistently am getting good night's sleep. So that is a huge thing. If that is not your experience, you have my greatest empathy. You can do it, and be kind to yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Don't try and do a trazillion things. Be kind to yourself. So that has been much easier than I thought. And in terms of the sleep structure I used, I preferred it as a sleep structure because I just found that more helpful. I used Little Ones, I think it's called, Little Ones Sleep Training. It's quite a strict kind of, you have to do this. And I kind of took it with a pinch of salt, but I did follow it quite strictly, probably for the first 6 weeks. And so that's one we use. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well, if you are interested. And we've basically continued that structure or that routine up until, I've kind of forgotten it now, but probably up until 9 months, we followed that relatively closely. And what that looks like is a little nap in the morning and then a long nap. You're basically training them or encouraging them to have a really long nap during the day from about 12 until 2:30. And which really worked well for me just because I like to work while he was napping. Now that schedule isn't going to work for everyone. It's not that great for socializing, to be honest, because you're like, no, I need to be at home. But for me, trying to run a business, knowing every day I had maybe up to 2.5 hours of baby free time where I could get some work done, has worked so well for me and saved me having to spend lots of money on childcare and just having to put him in nursery more than maybe I wanted to when he was little. So that's been really, really easy. Another thing that's been easy is actually probably childcare. I know that can be really difficult for some parents and mums to put their kids in nursery or childminders. Merlin started to go to nursery probably about 6 or 7 months, just in the morning from 8 till 1, which is super affordable, felt really easy for me because I wasn't leaving him there all day and all week. And so that has felt like such a blessing and been really, really easy. Another aspect has been that has been easier than I thought was probably just my overall kind of energetic recovery. I thought I would just feel a bit more buggered for longer. Now, physically, I kind of did, which I'll talk about that in terms of pelvic floor and pain and some nerve damage and those kinds of things. But actually, a year on, I don't feel really, really depleted. And I actually feel quite resilient and strong. I didn't get lots of colds. I mean, the last month I've been sick, as you've listened to the podcast, and snotty for a period of time. But basically, for the first year, I didn't get colds, didn't get flu, wasn't getting one down. Merlin wasn't either until he went to nursery. He got his first snotty nose a week after he started nursery, and he's basically been snotty since nursery. So prepare yourselves, parents, when you send kids to nursery. You've got like a good year of just constant snot and sickness. The joys. So those things have been kind of easier than I expected. Now, let's talk about the things that have been harder. Okay, number one would probably be, and my actual physical recovery, I don't feel like I could walk properly for like a good 5 weeks, 6 weeks maybe. It was just super painful to walk. That recovery's just taken a while. Pelvic floor wise, things didn't feel right for a while. I went and saw like a pelvic floor physio. I went and saw a pelvic floor personal trainer to do specific rehab, which I highly recommend. Literally being intentional about restoring those muscles because your pelvic floor is really, really important and affects the rest of your body. And I have no desire to be incontinent. Like, I just don't. I've been there and done that. I used to be like incontinent and I have no desire to have that again. So I did something about it. But that has taken a bit longer. And it's even still now, I need to probably work on my pelvic floor a little bit more. Some of that is I'm just rubbish at remembering the exercises and doing it. And I've now moved on to more my usual exercises. Whereas before, for the first 6 months, I was doing a lot of kind of pelvic floor rehab exercise. So, whereas now I'm just like running and doing my bar three and those kinds of things. So that's definitely been harder. And I think the hardest thing for me actually about this first year is all the emotional upheaval that Merlin brought with him. And ultimately, I think his arrival is a real gift, but it triggered off a lot of, emotional upheaval is probably the best way to describe it. So I think the kind of trauma of his birth, when it wasn't too bad, but it was difficult as... as a lot of births are. Your mum's like, yeah. It was, that triggered off some old, that meant that some old stuff kicked off in terms of my memories and well-being. And so that's been hard because that's meant I've been a lot more anxious, felt a lot more lost and lonely than I probably have ever felt before. And I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting to feel, I don't think I felt depressed, but I have felt more anxious than I have done for a really long time, and a real acute sense of loneliness. And I've had struggled with nightmares and those kinds of things. And so that's been much harder. And honestly, I was expecting sleep deprivation. I was expecting to pee myself. I was expecting to struggle with the new role of being a mum and all of that stuff. But I wasn't expecting this, all this crap from like 25 years ago to resurface all of a sudden and kind of come to the forefront of my mind. But I think often one trauma can kind of set your body and remind your body of a previous one. So I've been doing counseling for that, which has been really helpful. Really recommend it. Been going pretty much every week to a psychotherapist. And that's been really useful, but it's been awful. I'm not gonna lie. Like, it's like my husband sometimes like, oh, was counseling good? I'm like, no, there's nothing fun, enjoyable, or easy about counseling. It's like, it's one of the hardest things, honestly, I've had to do. I'd rather run a marathon. But that has been really, really difficult. And the other thing that's been hard, I think, has just been adjusting and finding my own role of motherhood. Like, what kind of mum I want to be? Like, how do I want a mother? What does that look like? And not necessarily needing to be the same as I saw growing up. Growing up, most of the mums that I worked that were around me didn't work, and that was kind of a woman's highest calling to be a mum and not really do much else. And there wasn't a lot of flexibility. I saw a lot of mums just being tired and doing it on their own. And I just haven't wanted that. And so that's been a bit tricky, of just finding what is gonna, how am I gonna be the best mum for my child? And what does that look like for me? Because actually I've found a lot of this year quite boring, to be honest. Like, babies are quite dull. I mean, I love them. I love Merlin, but he's pretty boring in terms of same day, food, feed, nappies, diaper, nap, food, feed, nappies. You know, it's just kind of the same. So I've struggled with that and felt a bit of guilt around that, around like I should be like, oh, this is amazing. I'm so attentive to my child and their learning development needs. And, you know, like I should be doing crafts with them and doing all these things. And yeah, I mean, I sing at him constantly and we play and read together, all that stuff. But I've just felt a bit like bad for feeling this is dull. Like, gosh, give me something else to do, man. And I think some of it is also when I was pregnant, I was running this business, I was studying my master's degree. I've actually had the years leading up to getting pregnant and having Merlin were pretty busy. Like, moments that I had spare, I was studying, basically. I was trying to do my postgraduate, and then I worked 5 days a week, probably about 4 days a week in my business, trying to grow that, trying to pay the bills, which is actually really stressful. Working for yourself sometimes, unless you actively manage that stress. And so I think then all of a sudden it was like having a baby, and every day you just kind of like, it's the same thing. And not reading, I'm not doing critical analysis of studies, and I'm not kind of creating programs for clients around chronic disease. I'm just like changing nappies and like trying to feed my child milk. So that, I think, dealing with that emotion and being kind to myself and honoring that feeling of boredom, and then kind of looking at that and what I can do about that, has been really helpful. And that's why, he went to nursery probably earlier than most of my other mum friends, partly because I'm self-employed as well. So the I get statutory maternity, which I was really grateful for. But that obviously isn't a large amount of money. For those of you that know, it works out just under £600 a month, which, again, so many countries don't provide that. So I feel so blessed to have received that. But financially, and more so, actually, we would have managed financially. It would have been fine. We're both creative budgeters. But it was more so I was just bored. I just needed some time where I could work and use my brain in a different way. So that's why he was at nursery relatively early on-ish, kind of 6 or 7 months, which here, I know I've got a lot of US listeners. Hey, in the UK, it's really normal for mums to take at least 9 months of maternity. And most of my mum friends take a year where they're not at work and then they go back to their jobs. So taking 6 or 7 months is not that much, but if you're listening from America, you'll be like, whoa, that's loads, because your maternity policy is terrible. And just putting it out there bluntly, it's so bad. I honestly could not have gone back to a job that involved moving after 3 or 4 weeks. I just, like, I was crawling up the stairs still. So those are the things that have been a bit harder. And so just being honest with you guys feels a little bit vulnerable, but that's my experience. Again, it's not going to be yours or everyone's experience, but I hope that helps. Okay, so now let's look at a couple of the nitty gritty recovery things in terms of, we're going to look at pelvic floor, we're going to look at sex, exercise, food, and your kind of mental well-being in terms of how those have recovered in the last year. So pelvic floor, I've already mentioned that. I think pelvic floor recovery, you've got a year basically of where your body is still actively recovering from giving birth. So I really, I was aware of this and I made sure that I was intentional about restoring my pelvic floor just because I didn't want to be 50 and 60 and peeing myself and having to spend lots of money on tenor ladies. I think there's, your pelvic floor is a muscle, and just like any other muscle, you have to train it. Like if I want abs, I need to go and do abdominal work. If I want to have healthy pelvic floor and healthy sex and not pee myself, I need to work that muscle. So I focused on that. Really recommend that you do, some intentional thing. Pilates is a great one. You can do kind of lots of postpartum, kind of personal trainers who are specifically trained in that postpartum period, often run like 6 to 8 week programs. I did a 6 week program, which was great. That really just helped to train my body in engaging the pelvic floor. I didn't have anything like diacystis recti or anything like that. Thankfully, my abs kind of came back together quite normal because I also did a lot of Pilates in pregnancy as well. But that is a really, really important thing. And so far, I still think I've got a bit more recovering to do. I might need to still go and see a pelvic floor physio, because sometimes if I really need the toilet and I'm holding Merlin and then I'm like cooking dinner and then whatever, then it's a tiny bit of wee can still come out, which is pretty normal, I think, for a year postpartum. But it's common, but I don't think it's normal. And I think, to be fair, I just have been really lazy at doing my exercises, because that wasn't the case like 3 or 4 months ago when I was doing my exercises better. So there you go. There's my honest update on my pelvic floor and continence, which I'm sure you want to know. But generally all fine. Also, I had an episiotomy, so I didn't have a big tear. And with some people, if you have a big tear and it's a large tear, that can affect your kind of bowel continence as well. So that's thankfully not been an issue. But for lots of people that is, and that's still all with this prolapses, all of those kinds of things. So pelvic floor physios, I didn't know they existed until I did research. You can see them on the NHS within a year after birth. You can get private ones. Go and see one. Even if you're like 5 years postpartum, go and see one. Okay, next thing is sex. I don't feel like people talk a lot about postpartum sex other than, oh, we're just too tired and there's no time to do it. Like I found myself like worrying and wanting to know like what's normal, what's not, like all of these kinds of things. But for us and for me, sex was just really painful up until, I'd say relatively recently, maybe like up until like a couple of months ago. So probably it was 10, 11 months. Not for lack of trying, but I just wasn't a goer. It was just too sore. I just couldn't do it. And to be honest, I found that a bit depressing. I like sex. And I was like, what is wrong with me? I'm never going to have sex again. This is rubbish. I like sex. This is never going to happen. And bless him, Joe was really great about it, but it was just really sore. And I know, and I had some friends that were like having sex at like two or three months postpartum, and they were like, oh no, it's fine. For those first, I think up until 6 months, I just didn't also have an interest in it actually at all, and it was sore. But then I think probably once I started to get my period back, then that you get that kind of more of an extreme hormonal cycle, and those estrogen rising, that's often what gives you that libido. So once I had that back, then I would say my libido was back fine, as normal. But it was still a little bit sore. And then it eventually got less sore. I don't really know what happened, but I don't know whether the healing, the scar tissue, all of that, but eventually got less sore. So if you're listening to this, there is no set time. Some people can have sex after a couple of months, couple of weeks even, and feel great, in which case, go for it. I mean, orgasms are so good for your body. Do it. But if, like me, it's just sore for a long time, that's totally normal too. If you're just not interested, that's totally normal too. Sleep deprivation really buggers your libido, so don't worry about that. It's really normal. You're not weird, whether you've had sex straight away or whether even you're a year postpartum and it's just been too sore, or you just really don't want to and it's just too difficult. It's okay. It really is. So that's been my experience with that. I think things now are more back to normal, which is great. And I was so happy to have my period back. Honestly, guys, I really missed having my period in my menstrual cycle. Before getting pregnant, I'd really tuned my life and my body and my awareness and my calendar. Really was very cyclical, was linked and attached to my cycle. I knew it. I knew when I was ovulating. I knew my luteal phase. I knew my follicular phase. I knew the different phases, how I felt and how to support myself. So being pregnant and breastfeeding, not having a period, I was like, that's why I got into following the moon. So I just followed the moon cycle because I really miss that cyclical way of living. I use a great app called My Flow app, which has been it was a really helpful introduction to that. I talk about it a lot with my clients when it comes to hormonal health, but I have loved getting my period back. It's been great. No issues there. No real pain. No, you know, all good and fabulous, which is great. So that's a little bit about sex and a little bit about periods. Okay, the next thing, exercise. How has recovering to exercise been? Well, in some ways, I feel like my ability to exercise was slower than I wanted. Like I kind of wanted to be that woman that's like 8 weeks postpartum. Yeah, I'm running with the baby. Like I'm running with my baby in a buggy. Yeah, look at me. Mainly for pride reasons. I just wanted to be that kind of person that's like, yeah, I'm so hardcore. Reality, there was no way I was going to be going for a run at 8 weeks postpartum. I think my insides would have fallen out. But equally now, I am running and I feel like there's no real exercise issues. So for me, I just went really slow. And to be honest, I was very intentional about pulling back from exercise. My general approach to exercise is fast, furious, hardcore and intense. That's what I like to do. If I'm going to go for a run, I'm going to do sprints. If I'm going to do exercise, I'm going to do some high intensity interval training. And I logically knew that that is not going to be what's going to help my body in a postpartum period, that I really needed to recover. So I focused on walking a lot with my buggy and doing kind of pelvic floor work whilst doing that. So I would go for a walk every day for at least half an hour, sometimes longer. At one point, he would only really nap in the buggy. So I was out like 3 times a day. Probably walking for like an hour and a half. So I did a lot of walking. I also did, as I mentioned, my pelvic floor kind of program and those exercises. And then I just slowly built stuff up over time. After kind of walking and doing pelvic floor for a bit, I joined my pelvic floor trainer and did like a mum's exercise class, Buggy Fit. There we go. So she did that in a park near me. So I started to go to that, which was really helpful. And I also, one thing I really loved in this last year exercise wise is I joined Bar 3, which is like an online set of exercise classes. And that's been really great because Bar 3 is a lot about muscle. It's kind of got some cardio in, but it's not too intense. It's quite muscle focused. There's a mindfulness focus and they have exercises like 10 minute sessions, 30 minute sessions, 40 minute sessions. So I have basically probably been doing that for maybe 6 months of just doing different Bar 3 classes for half an hour in the morning while Joe's around. He takes Millen, gives him breakfast. I would do a half an hour class. And that's been a really great middle ground for me. It's not too intense that I'm exhausted. But it's also been challenging my muscles, because by the time after I'd given birth, like my butt muscles and leg muscles just were not There just wasn't much there, guys, because I had so much pain in pregnancy. I just wasn't able to do, I wasn't even able to walk all that much, to be fair. It was too sore, never mind other stuff, other than Pilates, which even some of that was tricky. So all my muscles were just gone. So in terms of rebuilding my muscle, that's felt a really good balance of hard. I feel achy in my muscles, but I'm not completely depleted the next day. And there's a nice mindfulness element. And it also engaged your core a little bit as well. So there was that core element, and they're really good at making sure, and guiding you through doing proper movement. So that's been really helpful. So now I'm at the point a year where I am running, and I did the couch to 5K probably about, I started that probably about 10 months postpartum, I think, at the couch to 5K, because I felt good and I went really slowly, built that up, and that's been feeling really good. So I'm really excited to be back exercising. It's one thing I deeply missed when I was pregnant, just because I did some Pilates and I did as much as I could, but I just had a lot of pelvic floor pain. So and back and hip issues as well. Okay, so exercise, food. Next thing we're going to talk about in terms of recovery. Well, I mean, food. I've just eaten a lot of food this year. That could just summarize it. Lots of whole, nutrient-dense, awesome foods. So when it comes to food, this is where I have been so grateful that I actually have done so much work with my relationship with food, relationship with body, that I've created just default healthy habits that feel effortless. Done that all before getting pregnant and giving birth, because this hasn't felt really particularly difficult at all, because all my habits are just health, like they're just default healthy habits. Like a default habit is to make eggs for breakfast. I'm not like trying to be healthy by eating eggs for breakfast. I just do it. Or a smoothie is just a normal thing. Like, or what to buy at a shops. I just know the things that I want to buy. If Joe wants to make me something, he knows what I'm going to eat. Like all of that stuff. I've not had to like try and be healthy this year. I've just needed to rely on this healthy lifestyle that I've created. And that has been such a blessing. And so I'd really encourage you, if you are thinking about having a baby, create a healthy lifestyle now, because trying to do it a few months postpartum is near impossible, and it's just not going to happen. If you don't deal with your relationship with food and your body now, then doing it when you're sleep deprived, that's not going to happen. You're just going to rely on old binging emotional eating techniques. So that has just been such, I've been so grateful for actually having the health problems that I've had from so young, which has forced me to address these things at actually a really young age, and kind of break through. So that with this period of my life, I've just been eating foods that I know are healing, helpful, nourishing, and it's been great. And I've just been eating a lot of food. Just putting that out there. I think probably after like 4 months postpartum, for like the first 3 months, I think I just ate loads of like the brownies and muffins and nut and seed bars that I'd made in the fridge. Like I'd made loads of snack stuff, banana loaf. I literally had a whole drawer filled with like banana loaf, muffin, brownies, all homemade, kind of gluten-free, dairy-free, naturally sweet stuff, but still cake ultimately. I was probably eating like cake several times a day, and everyone brings you cake. So I think probably in January of this year, I was like, okay, I think I need to stop eating cake for breakfast. And so I kind of, you know, pulled the reins on my cake eating habit. And was like, okay, let's just have some cake once a day and let's start having proper breakfasts, because I knew I'd lost quite a lot of weight from birth till probably just before Christmas, or birth probably to like for the first 2 months, you lose, I think, maybe just quite a lot of weight just naturally as your body sort of, as your organs reorganize themselves. That's what it feels like anyway. But I knew actually eating all that cake was probably a bit too much sugar and not helping my energy. So I switched that at the start of the year. And it's been fine. And while we're on the subject, let's talk weight, guys. Let's talk body weight and shape. Now, I know this could be triggering, so feel free to like fast forward this. I didn't really weigh myself in pregnancy. I don't really weigh myself in general, so I don't actually know what I currently weigh. I didn't weigh myself before I got pregnant. But I'm guessing that I probably gained, I'm guessing before I got pregnant, I was probably like just under 11 stone. And I think by the time I was like due date, I was probably like 14 and a half stone, maybe 15, that kind of thing. Nothing like so high that the midwives were concerned, but I think I was about that much. And now 14 months postpartum, I think I'm actually probably slimmer than before I got pregnant. Not out of intention, to be honest. I haven't been aware because I don't weigh myself, but I just put on an old pair of jeans the other day and was like, oh, these used to be like my tight skinny jeans and they're not anymore. And yeah, so that's my weight. I've had a couple of times where I have focused on resetting and tightening up my diet, like I mentioned before, like stopping myself from eating brownies for breakfast. I've had a couple of moments of that where I've done that, and I think probably in April time I did like a bit of my green smoothie challenge where I recognized my energy wasn't great and I probably need to eat a bit more protein. So I was having a lot more kind of protein filled smoothies for breakfast. And I've tried a couple of different things, but more from a nutrient perspective, not necessarily from a weight perspective. So, and I've just kind of followed a lot of my usual habits. I don't eat gluten. I don't eat a lot of grains, dairy. I might just have butter, occasional cheese, try to eat lots of vegetables, I've really focused on balancing my blood sugar. So I've actually been testing my blood sugar with a blood sugar monitor that diabetics would use. I'm not diabetic, but I've been testing my blood sugar and that's been quite erratic. Actually, I've been quite surprised at how all over the place my blood sugar has been. So I'll do a podcast on that. So I'm really focused on balancing my blood sugar, and that kind of goes hand in hand with weight loss a lot of the time. So if you're struggling to lose weight, it's probably because your blood sugar is not balanced, and that can make it difficult. Whereas for me, I knew my blood sugar was not balanced, so I just focused on balancing that. And then I think the weight has sorted itself out, to be honest. I've not massively focused on it because I thought it's got other things to do and my body will just be whatever my body is, you know. It's fine. I mean, I'm happy with the size it is. I don't think I want to get much slimmer, otherwise I'm going to get a bit bonier. So I'll keep an eye on that. I'm eating plenty still. I think maybe it's just I've been experimenting a little bit more with my overnight fasts and maybe don't need to do that as much. And maybe I do just need to eat more cake, guys. You never know. But yeah, that's weight. And if you're listening to this and you're like, oh gosh, Kezia, I weigh more than blah, 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 give yourself a break. First of all, know you're more than your weight. Yep, I get that you care about it. And yep, there's stuff you can do. But you're more than your weight. And don't obsess about it. The next thing you want to do is just have an honest look at your diet for a week. Write down everything you eat and how you feel and have a good, honest look at that. Because I'm guessing if you wrote down everything you ate and you looked at it in a week, you would know exactly what to do. You would say, maybe having 2 glasses of wine every night, that's maybe not a good idea. It's not. That's not going to help you lose weight. Maybe you're like me, like I was, and just eating brownies at like 10 a.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., just throughout the day instead of like some nuts or hummus and carrots or, you know, some soup or whatever. You will know how what you need to do. So keep a food diary, have a look. If you're really stuck, that's where I come in. It might be your metabolism's a bit buggered. You might have a thyroid issue. If you're sleep deprived, that really imbalances your blood sugar. So that makes it much harder. So be kind to yourself. If you're struggling, let me know. And I'll maybe do another podcast on kind of losing weight post baby and give you more details and my thoughts on that. And I think that's about it in terms of updates. And mental health wise, I'll give you an update on that. I think that's still an ongoing process. I definitely feel better than I did at the start of the year, which is great. But things still feel hard. I don't feel as anxious, or when I do experience anxiety, I feel like I don't freak out as much. So historically, I would feel anxious, I'd freak out about feeling anxious and be anxious about being anxious. And I don't do that anymore, which is really helpful. But it's still hard. Things still feel tricky. And I think there's probably a bit of a path ahead in terms of just really healing and recovering and building that resiliency from a mental health perspective. But I feel good. I don't feel like, I mean, a part of me feels like I'm falling apart, but I don't feel like I'm completely broken down. Does that make sense? Like, it's just, there's so many great things in my life. There's so many good anchor points and things that are doing really well. That actually kind of keeps me really, really grounded and is almost giving space for this other aspect of myself to kind of unravel a little bit, if that makes any sense. So that is my recovery update, kind of 1 year / 14 months postpartum, 14 months of making a human from scratch. If you're listening to this and you've ever made a human from scratch or cared for a human, that also counts. Well done. it's no mean feat, this whole creating, carrying, birthing, caring, feeding, caring for them. It's a hard job. I mean, it's amazing, but it is hard. So if you're listening to this and you have ever done that, you've ever made a human, cared for a human, well done. I salute you. I hope you're proud of yourself. Know that you're awesome. And that in our own little way, we're all just changing the world by raising these tiny humans in whatever capacity that looks like. If you have any questions about today's episode, I would love to hear from you. You can find me on Instagram or Facebook at Supernaturally Healthy. I was going to say Kezia Hall, but actually the handle is Supernaturally Healthy. You can, if you want to work with me, just head over to keziahall.com, click the work with me page, find out all the information. I have about one or two slots. I'm waiting to hear back from someone, which is why I say one or two. So you find out more, we can chat on the phone, find out if it's a good fit and see. If you have any questions about postpartum time, I would love to chat with you. I'm super passionate about helping mums in their healing and recovery. Otherwise, have an amazing day. Thank you for giving me your most precious resource of your time. And I will speak to you soon. Lots of love. Bye.